Hello, welcome to King's Church Bangor Sermon Podcast. We hope and pray that this message helps you in your journey with God and blesses you this week. If you want to find out more about King's Church, then head to our website, kingschurchbangor.org, or you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook for more updates.
I love that you can go bowling in Northern Ireland for a fiver. Over in England, it is a lot more than that, so do sign up for that. I'm slightly gutted I can't go, but... There we go. This morning we are going to be finishing up our series, which we've titled We Are King's Church. We've been looking at who we are as a church. What is our history? What is our DNA? And we've talked about how we are community. We've talked about how we are family. And last week we explored the idea that we are missional as a church. And this week our title is called We Are In. And this morning I want to talk to you about six different areas that I think are part of us as King's Church. And I think it's already part of our identity, but I feel that God's going to almost emphasize us to push into these things a little bit more in this next season. So the next kind of 25 minutes, we're going to talk about six different things that we are as a church. And they are, we are interconnected, that we are involved, that as a church we are inspired, that we are invested, that we are intercessors, and that we are intentional. And I'm going to try and smash all of those things in 25 minutes. But just before I do, I just want to quickly emphasize something. And I know that you probably already know this, right? But the church, King's Church, isn't just the place that you come to on a Sunday morning. It's not the building that we meet, nor is it a particular service or gathering that we attend. But it is the community of people that make up our church. We are the church. We are King's Church. And so because each of us holds the identity of the church, if we as individuals display these characteristics, then as a church, we are them. Does that make sense? And so this morning, what I want you to do is when I say we are, I want you to kind of almost replace the word we are with I am. You know, am I interconnected? Am I involved? And almost that's the challenge that I want to give you this morning to answer those questions. And I want to try to persuade you, if I need to, that we are called by God to be all of these things. I want to show you where I feel we already show and demonstrate these characteristics and where we may be able to press into them a bit more. And then it's up for you to ask yourself the question whether you are each one. Does that sound okay? You up for it? Glad to be at church? Good stuff. So the first one is called We Are Interconnected. And so the first one is one that actually Peter kind of mentioned a couple of weeks ago. And if you've not listened to the rest of the sermon series, I really do advise you to catch up on it. But he talked about what it looks like for us to be community and family. The idea that we are connected to each other in a deeper way than just a bunch of people that happen to be in the same place at the same time. And now the Bible is filled with interconnected communities of people, young and old, spending time together to seek the promises that God has for them. And the Bible is also full of loads of examples and teachings telling us that we should be interconnected. I just want to give you a couple of those. Galatians 6:2 says, carry one another's burdens. I think that's quite simplistic, but when I actually think about it, that means that we have to be in relationship with each other. That means we have to actually know each other's burdens to be able to carry them. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And thirdly, Psalm 133:1, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. We should be interconnected. And I think there's a difference between interconnection and connection, right? So I'd argue that if you have one connection into King's Church, then you are connected, and that's great. And any connection is better than no connection. But what we want to see as a church, what we want to build over time, is interconnection. This is where you know numerous people from different walks of life. It's where you don't just come to church and know maybe one or two other people. It's where you come and you're friends with people that are a different age to you, a different gender to you. They have a different job to you, maybe a different political stance than you. people who don't just serve on the same team as you, but are involved in lots of areas of this church and this community. We want to be an interconnected church. And so Peter talked a little bit about community groups a couple of weeks ago. What does it look like for you to be part of a community group? Now, I ran some numbers, and I think we have about 68% of our church that are in a community group. Now, that is great. That is higher than the national average for churches and people being engaged in community groups, which is awesome, right? But there are 32%, basically a third of people, who aren't in a community group, that are slightly missing out. And there's probably some of the 68% that are in a community group but potentially aren't really engaged with the idea of them. But community groups are a place where you can get to know people from all walks of life. They're a place where you can be connected with the whole church family, a place where you can carry, that you can share one another's burdens, when you can spur one another on to following Jesus and living as an apprentice to him, a place where you can live in unity together. So I encourage you again, and we will never stop banging this drum. If you're not already, please do join a community group. Another thing that we want to do to be an interconnected church is something that we've mentioned once before. It's called Meals for Six. And in the kind of middle to late October, we're going to gather. After church, we're going to scatter to loads of different people's homes. And we're going to have lunch together, groups of six. They're going to be a way for you to get to know people that maybe you know a little bit, or maybe you've never even met before. We want to be interconnected, and as a church, we are committed to that, right? So we will put on these different events, we will strategize to be able to do this, but again, the challenge that I want to offer to you is, what are you doing to be interconnected? Do you take that kind of, that leap, and you go and speak to someone that you've never spoken to before, and you just go and ask them how they are? And one of the things that's really has hit me this week is that we are all made in the image of God, right? Which means we all carry an identity, a characteristic of God. And so every single person that you speak to, they carry something of God. And I don't want to miss out on an aspect of God, right? So getting to speak to loads of different people means that I get to be part of what God is doing. And so the first one, are you interconnected? Second up, we are involved. I don't want to spend too long on this one because I spent a chunk of time on it last week. That idea that we are involved, that we don't treat church like a hotel, but we treat it as a home and as family, and we get involved. And again, if we look at the Bible, all we really read about are people that are involved. They wouldn't have made the cut into the stories of the Bible if they weren't. So again, I just want to jump into a couple of verses. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. And Galatians 5, 13 adds something. It says, through love, serve one another. King's Church, we need to use our gifts to serve one another and to do it from a place of love. Now, I do think this doesn't just apply inside the church. It absolutely, definitely applies outside. But I just think it's overall, it's imperative that we use our gifts to build God's kingdom. And now you might be sat there thinking, you know, I can't play a bass guitar, or I don't feel comfortable holding a microphone. And those things may be true, but can you stack a chair? Can you serve a cup of coffee? Can you play some games with the children or read stories to them? Everybody has a gift, and I'd love for you to use that gift to serve one another. And there may be some people who will think, well, I can do more than lay out chairs, Sam. I've got a degree. I can do more than just pour a coffee. The other 6 days of my week, people make me coffee. I don't make them coffee. And I want to say, if you're thinking those things, and I invite you just to get rid of your pride, right? Get involved and serve, because that is what Jesus did. He didn't have to, but he did all of those kind of mucky jobs which other people didn't want to do. And again, right now we have 60% of our church serve in a ministry. The truth of the matter is that actually a lot of those 60% serve nearly every week, because there's 40% who don't. And I don't want to kind of guilt you into serving, right? That's not my heart, that's not my intention, but I do want to, I guess, challenge you. I want to ask you a question and for you to answer it. Why don't I serve my church? Why am I happy for others to serve me, but not the other way around? And there may be valid reasons for that. There may be obstacles and hurdles, but I just want to have that conversation with you. How can we get you involved in what's happening here as King's Church? We also, as a church, want to be involved in what God is doing in our community, right? We don't want to just be inside and looking insular. We want to be involved serving those that live in our town and our neighborhoods. We want to be involved in serving around the, we're already involved in the old people's home around the corner, right? We serve there and we play songs to the people living there. We have other things that we do in the community. We have our Christmas market, which we hold once a year to work with all the local businesses that are inside Bangor. We are involved in a number of different areas, but I think God has a lot more for us. And I'd love to see us as a church get involved more in our community, serve our community, and loving our community to life. Two down. Third one, we are inspired. We want to be a church that is inspired by God. We want to be a church where we seek to hear his voice, where we go where he calls us to. I know of too many churches that are stuck in a routine. They're stuck in their ways. And they don't even know why they do the things that they do. But we want to be a church where we are always drawing living water from Jesus. We want to be a church where he is the one that inspires us to do what we do in life. More so than any inspirational podcast that you listen to or a TV program that you might watch or a new diet plan that you are following. We want it to be God who inspires us. There's a piece of scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16 that you may have heard. It basically says about how the Bible, God's word, his scripture is breathed and useful in so many ways. And I love how the Message translation puts it. It says it like this. It says, "There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us." I love that, training us to live God's way. That is, in a really simplistic way, that is what this book is. It's training us to live God's way. And we want to be inspired. We want to dig into the Bible. We want to let it teach us. We want to let it shape us, inspire us, form us. We want it to lead us in his ways because his ways are greater. They are higher than our ways. And I think that we often, as Christians, we have so many questions for God. We're so unsure of how to deal with so many situations, but often the answer is already written in this book. Now, as a church, we are, of course, committed to teaching God's word, hence why we commit a good chunk of every Sunday morning to try and teach it. But 25 minutes every week, I would argue, is missing out on so much that God has to teach us. It's like watching a movie trailer but never seeing the whole movie. It's like reading a review about the latest novel but never actually picking it up, enjoying the narrative and the storyline. King's Church, where does your inspiration in life come from? Does it come from this book, the teachings that are in it? Get inspired by it. Read it. Study it. Live it. Learn from it. Be guided by it. Be inspired by it. I encourage you to try and read this book every single day. I don't know about you, but I find that tough sometimes. And so I try to follow Bible reading plans. And there's so many different ways, right, that you can read the Bible. But I guess some of my personal favorites, if you need them, and there's loads more, thousands more. But there's the Lectio 365 app, which is phenomenal, morning and evening, different reflection. There's the Bible in 1 year. If you're kind of person that loves a challenge, you want to try and read the whole Bible in a year, that is a winner. You've got the YouVersion Bible app, where there's thousands of different reading plans that you can follow. And then one of my personal favorites is Read Scripture app, which is made by the Bible Project guys, and I think it's really awesome. And so I guarantee you that if you read this book,
You'll be inspired. And that inspiration will change your life and other people's lives. And very quickly, whilst my hope is that the 25 minutes that you do listen to me or somebody preach isn't your main source of hearing God's word, I do hugely encourage you to listen to sermons, to be inspired by the teachings that they provide. Also, feel free to not just limit yourself to the teachings of King's Church, right? We are blessed to be able to access some phenomenal biblical preaching and teaching, and I encourage you to do so. Just in the last couple of weeks, I've had a couple of people that have come to me and they said, hey, Sam, check out this podcast or check out this sermon. It really hit me. It was really powerful. And I love the idea that as a church, we're being inspired, not just on a Sunday morning, but in the week as well. So use the resources that are out there to be inspired by God's words. And very finally on this, what are you reading? We can learn so much from those that have gone before us. They've learned how to be followers of Jesus, and we can learn from them by just picking up and reading their works. I try to read kind of a Christian book once a month. That's what I try to do, and I find it so helpful for me to learn, to put my trust and faith in God and to hear those stories that they share. Are we an inspired church? Next one. We are intercessors. Now, it's a shame that prayer doesn't start with the word in. I thought about putting we are in prayer, but I didn't think you'd let me get away with that one so easily. So I came up with another word, intercessors, which of course works. It's intercessors. Intercessory prayer is a type of prayer. It's basically where we take our focus almost off ourselves and we pray for other things that are going on. Slightly what we just did here when we prayed for missionaries around the world and people's health. Now, that is part of our identity, but really what I want to do is actually just talk about how prayer is part of our identity as a church. And if I'm truly honest with you, I do not see myself as a prayer warrior. I'm still learning very much how to pray to God effectively and to do that really well. I try to thank him for the good things that are going on in my life. I try to go to him first when I'm struggling with things. I'm really blessed that I'm married to somebody who is much better at prayer than I am and who encourages me to pray all the time. I've got friends and family who walk alongside me and we pray together, and that is such a blessing. But I thought rather than me trying to teach you about prayer, I thought I'd actually use some words of some people that have gone before me, to stand on their shoulders. And so you've probably heard most of these names, but I think these are some really good teachings on prayer. Martin Luther, he says, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Just let that hit you for a second. That's probably the most challenging one to kick us off with. Mother Teresa, God shapes the world by prayer. The more praying there is in the world, the better the world will be. The mightier the forces are against evil. Billy Graham, to get nations back on their feet, we must first get down on our knees. When was the last time you got on your knees and you prayed on the behalf of somebody else? Max Lucado, I like this one. Our prayers may be awkward. We've all been there, haven't we, in those meetings. Our attempts may be feeble. But since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it, not the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. And then a couple of quick fire ones. Corrie ten Boom, is prayer your steering wheel or is it your spare tire? And Jay John, when we pray, things happen. And when we don't, they don't. When I reflect about people who I've read about or I've seen to have had a profound kingdom effect on this world, each individual has an extremely high emphasis on prayer. I've heard stories about Billy Graham rejecting evening meetings with top-ranking officials because he always has it in his diary to pray at a particular time every night. Or there's a story of a guy called Fred Rogers, who you might have maybe seen in a latest film that was called A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. This film really hit me, and I started studying Fred Rogers and who he was. And he had a significant impact on thousands and thousands of people. But what I love about him is that every single day, he was like the kindest man ever to have lived, apart from Jesus. And he every day, he wrote down a list of all the people that he knew that he was going to see that day. And he just spent the time praying for them. When we see moves of God, when we see God's kingdom come, when we see atmospheres change, prayer is more often than not at the center of it. Now, as a church, we are committed to praying and we're committed to interceding on others' behalf. Prayer is a focus of all of our corporate gatherings, and our hope is that it's not just a tag that we put on at the beginning or the end of a meeting, but it's a focal point whenever we are together. We also gather three times a week to pray as a church for things that are going on, praying for each other, praying for the things that we are seeing around our town and around the world. We also meet monthly to pray for and with our missionaries around the world, which anybody is free to join. We take committed times throughout the year to fast and to pray. This might be in a community group. This might be a team of you in a ministry, or it might be a time for the whole church where we gather and we pray and we fast. We also have a dedicated prayer room in this building, which anybody is free to use 24/7. I believe we are a prayerful church. I believe we are intercessors. But what about you? Are you an intercessor? How's your prayer life? We're nearly there. Hopefully you're still with me. Two more to go. Two more to go. Right, we are invested. Now, most of us in this room, right, we have investments in something. Maybe you've got an investment and you own a house. Maybe you've got some stocks and shares. Maybe you've taken the plunge and you've bought some Bitcoin or some cryptocurrency. Maybe you put your own money and you invested in your own business. Perhaps you invested in yourself to go back to education to further your job opportunities. Or maybe you just put 3% a month of your salary into a pension pot. Most of us, I'd say here, are invested in something. And a definition of investment is this, right? To invest is to allocate money with the expectation of a positive benefit or return in the future. Now, of course, we can invest with resources that aren't money, that are things like time and energy. And I always want to honor those things that you guys give so faithfully to this church. But I do just want to spend a couple of minutes talking about investing with your money. Often we can think that when we give or we tithe to a church that we're doing basically that. We're just giving away. And that is true, right? But I like to think of it more as investing. Me and Katie invest our money each month into King's Church with the expectation of a positive benefit in the future. Now, don't freak out. I'm not preaching prosperity gospel, right? But we believe that as we invest as King's Church, right, the positive benefit that we will see is that God's kingdom will come. Let me just back that up with three Bible verses. Proverbs 3, 9 to 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will be bursting with wine. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Malachi 3:10, I think one of the most influential passages that we have about giving. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I think we are called to give our money generously to God. I think you can read that quite clearly in scriptures. And I think the church has been the predominant place where that has been done for thousands of years, with the hope and the expectation that the church uses that money to benefit the kingdom of God. And I do believe that, Kings, we look to invest the money that you so generously give to the church for his kingdom. We as a church are invested in the business of discipleship making. We look to use the money we have to see our community inside the church and those around it know who God is, be in relationship with him. We want to try and live in the purpose that he has for us and for those that are around us. And now our reward isn't a new car or a new fancy house, right? It is not the prosperity gospel, but our reward is seeing people come to know who Jesus is. So the money given to this church goes towards investing in great resources for the kids' ministry that we're running every single week and throughout the week. It goes to invest in sound and audio equipment so that we could still be a community during lockdown and that we can still stream our services to the whole entire world. Our money goes towards numerous charities and missionaries, which are, again, investing in areas like localities who wouldn't hear the gospel without that funding, without that money. Our money goes towards heating our building. It goes on the cup of coffee that you'll drink at the end of the service. It also goes on loving our community. We're a generous church. We don't shout about it loads, but we try to give to those in the community that we know are struggling. And yes, for many years, I know so many of you have given. You've invested in the building fund. And over the next few weeks, in the coming weeks, we'll look to give a fuller update on the building situation. But very quickly, as I know it's a question that you all have, right? Give me a nod if you've got it. You're all thinking, aren't you? I want to give you a little update, and that is that we're effectively still waiting for an answer on our appeal for planning permission that's on this site, right? And that would significantly increase the value of the land. We were hoping that the appeal would be back with us by now, but due to lockdown, there have been delays, which means that we hope that we'll have a response. We're hoping that it will be in the next 6 weeks or so, but it is out of our hands. It's out of our control. And as a team and as a church, we have been continuously praying long before I was even part of this church. We've been asking God about the building that we will call home. And whilst we don't yet know for sure where that will be, I and we as a team, we are confident that God is faithful, that he is for us, that he's not against us, that he's working all this for the good of King's Church. And I want to tell you, I'm so confident that he has the right place for us. And one of those reasons is when it comes to giving, I take loads of comfort from that verse in Malachi, right? It is the one place, the only place in the Bible where God says to us to test him. Nowhere else in the Bible are we told to test him, but only in the giving of our finances, which as a church we're doing, right? We've given money. We're almost testing God. We're asking him, hey, what's going to happen with this? Are you going to provide? But God, he promises, he says, test me. And so you have given faithfully to King's Church, and I believe God is going to provide for us because he is a faithful God. And so are you invested? Perhaps you've never given to the church. I want to encourage you that investing in God's kingdom is the best investment you can ever make. I want to encourage you that as a team, we are committed to using that money really effectively, really wisely, and really generously. And so I just want to encourage you to think about that if you don't invest in the work of Kings. Maybe now is a good time. And you can do that by just jumping onto our website and following a link that says give. And maybe you've been giving to our church for a long time, for years, for decades. And I want to say thank you so much. We could not do what we do without your investment. And I just want to really gently, I guess, ask. I've been in that place before where I've just sat with that direct debit every single month. And I often find there's good times, maybe once a year, maybe when you've got a job change, just to ask God, hey, is this the right amount, God, for me to give? And just ask God and just see what he says. Are you invested? Finally, we are intentional. In the grand scheme of things, being intentional is effectively seeing what is written in the Bible and doing something about it. It's as simple as that. Taking active steps to enacting change in your life that better reflects what God has called you into and to live in the way that Jesus taught us to. In a quite simplistic way, as an example, I'd argue that if you are an intentional person, then the previous five things that we've talked about, you would actually go and do something about it. You would start to pray. You would start to get involved, to get connected, to be invested. If you're not intentional, then you will let what we've spoken about today just escape your short-term memory. You'll head off to Sunday lunch and you'll never remember any of my words again. And another kind of way, another example, I guess, of putting intentionality right is if I wanted to become really fit, really strong, and really healthy, then I need to make a bunch of intentional decisions that allow the thing that I want to come into fruition. It doesn't just happen automatically, right? I'd need to actually go and do some exercise. I'd need to go for a run, or I'd need to join a class. But that would mean that I need to intentionally find time in my week to do that. It means I'd have to wake up an hour earlier. It means I'd need to skip that TV show or not hang out with those people. To become strong, which I am really not, I'd need to start lifting weights regularly. I need to start drinking those protein shakes. I need to change my diet. I'd eat a bunch more protein, fruit and veg. I'd probably have to cut out the ridiculous amount of chocolate that I consume every single week. I'd need to intentionally read, learn, be inspired by about how to do this. I'd need to invest in probably some gym equipment or some new trainers. I need to get involved in the local gym. I'd need to connect with other people at the gym who could spot me when I was lifting those weights. I'd need to be intentional. As a church, we want to be intentional. We want to make active steps to be the church that God is calling us to. And it does mean that sometimes we have to put ourselves in uncomfortable places, relying on God to provide. It means doing some extra work, putting in some extra hours to complete a project or to meet a need. We have to intentionally sacrifice things that we have for our people and for our community. Now, as a church, we do not strive to be the best church, but we take strides to give our best to God and what he has given us. I really want to be intentional in how I live. We want to be a church who is intentional in how we exist. What about you? Are you intentional? Have you and do you take intentional steps to be a disciple of Jesus? And as we come to finish, here are just a couple of verses that I believe shout about intentional living. They come from Hebrews 12. It says this, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith." To me, that speaks of being intentional. And so to close, I called this talk, "We Are In." I did it, of course, because all my points start with the word "in," but I did it because I think over the last 18 months, the whole world has gone through a bunch of change and challenge. As a church, we have had to adapt with some of the changes that we've had over the last couple of years. But I want to, this morning, mark kind of a line in the sand. I want us to pick this day on the 26th of September to almost to commit to say, "We are in. I want to be part of this church. I want to be part of this community, and I want to be part of this kingdom." And so I'd love just to challenge you. You don't need to do anything. I'm not going to make you do anything. But I want to challenge you as you sit and as we worship in a moment. And if the band want to come up, I just want to challenge you. If you're ready, if you feel comfortable, to just maybe for the first time, or maybe it's just to almost say it again. To say, I am in. I think when we make intentional choices, when we make intentional decisions, it enables us to fully commit to something. There's going to be times of adversity. There's going to be times of struggle. There's going to be unanswered questions. But I believe that when we commit to something, when we say, I am in, it strengthens our resolve, deepens our relationships. And so, King's Church, are you in? Are you interconnected? Are you involved? Are you inspired? Are you intercessors? Are you invested? Are you intentional? So why don't you stand? I'll pray and then we'll worship together in response. Yeah. Father God, we thank you for every single person in this building right now, for every single person that is watching online, for every single person that has a connection with King's Church. God, we pray that we would be a church who knows you, who follows your word, and that we get to be a witness to seeing your kingdom come. Father God, I pray that today we would be people who are committed to you, that we can today, this morning, that we can mark this day as a day that we say we are in. And we thank you for all of the things, God, that you are going to do in us and through us. God, we thank you that we get to partner with you, that we get to do this in relationship with you. And so, God, would you just bless each and every one of us this morning? In your name we pray.